Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. Inside a Crawfish Cafe in the Heights on Shepherd. It smells so good in here.
It does.
Hey, Sean. I am Jeremy. No one's working. It's a new show and no one's working. Joe's not here. Brian is not here. Ryan is in for Brian. The Twitch rejoices. There's no one working. It's weird. It's Monday. It's after week two of the NFL season. Joe's not here. Brian's not here. It is Brian's birthday, though. I did see that on Facebook.
Okay.
So, did you wish him a happy birthday?
No, I didn't and I won't. I you know.
Why not?
Once you get past 21 for birthdays.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
I went. I gave him a happy birthday on Facebook,
and he's at least twice that now. So yeah, not giving him a happy birthday.
I give him a little happy birthday.
He only knows my birthday because he and me and his wife have the same birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're both April 23rd.
Okay, sounds good.
But that doesn't mean I'm obligated to know his birthday.
No, you're not obligated. We are at Crawfish Cafe, though. Fantastic food. Great spot to hang out. Great spot to watch the game tonight. Carbox going to be out here for their Monday night football special a little bit later. Bucket of six beers for $10. Long necks, $2. So why wouldn't you be here to watch not one, but two Monday night football games? Texans-Chargers at 6, and then the Chargers and the Raiders at like 9:30, whatever time it is. I saw the broadcasting team for each of these games. The Texans are getting the varsity. For what it's worth. They're getting the Buck Aikman treatment, the two sideline reporters that we know and love, and it's the Chargers and Raiders that are getting the backup crew. They're getting Chris Fowler, Louis Riddick. I think the new guy who went from NFL Network to ESPN is going to be their sideline reporter.
Okay.
What's his name? The guy that didn't play in the NFL, so yelled at?
Kyle Brandt? No.
The other guy.
The other Peter Schrager.
Peter Schrager, yeah. The guy that Ryan Clark said, you can't talk, you don't know.
Dismiss his opinion.
Yeah, he'll be on Monday night. He'll be on the second Monday night game.
Yeah.
So that's fun. It is a big day in Houston, though, for Houston pro sports. One, because you have a Monday night football game, first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And then secondly, the Astros, who are very much in a playoff race, take on the Rangers today. So lots going on in City of Houston today.
Yes, and it's... Both teams are in a similar situation of you can't really win anything tonight, but you can start to lose things. You can really it can be a very bad night more so than it can be a very good night, I would say, for Houston sports fans.
Yeah, you can't win the division in week two, but you might lose the division in week two. You can't make the playoffs with a couple weeks left in the season, but you could go on your way of losing a playoff spot.
Yeah.
2 weeks left in the season. Yeah, so lots to get to. NFL yesterday was elite. I don't know how you consumed your football yesterday, because Texans don't play at noon. Kind of opens up some things. I went red zone all day. That's how I consumed my ball.
I went red zone on laptop. TV was Cowboys-Giants.
Okay, so you were watching that like snap for snap, but went red zone on TV.
Yeah.
I got you. No, I went red zone on TV, and I had the Astros on the laptop.
Okay.
Which is the way that I went yesterday. Yeah. In red zone, in the noon slate, the final few moments of each of these games were very, very good.
It's the best part about the Texans being good again is that they don't play noon games every single week anymore. And so first 2 weeks of the season, we got to be spoiled a little bit. Now, one was just because they're on the West Coast in week one. But now playing Monday nights, they'll have a Thursday, some Sundays throughout the season. I like to treat myself to a little red zone, and people are like, because there's now some red zone backlash, I've noticed.
Because of the sponsors?
Because of the sponsors, and there's a little bit of like, well, this isn't how real ball knowers watch. You don't get a feel for the game. And I'm like, I don't really need a feel for the game. I just want a little sampler platter of the nine, you know, normally pretty subpar noon games. And we ended up getting some good ones. I'm not sure how many good teams were involved in these good games. I know Dallas Giants had hit a point of like, wow, this is like really captivating stuff. I'm not sure if I feel better about either of these teams.
Yeah, I think I feel worse about both.
Yeah, that's where I landed. I think the Russ interception where the DB could have fair caught it, that's where I was like, yeah, this is bad for everybody.
That was so weird because Russell had the best game
he was dealing
in the last decade of his career.
And the neighbor's throw was good. Like, yeah. That was a great throw.
Neighbors went nuts. Wendell Robinson went nuts.
Yep.
Cam Scataboo can't catch a ball out of the backfield. I don't know why he was playing so much. But Russell Wilson goes nuts. Like, this is going to be by far the best game he has in the last 5 years of his career.
Well, it was,
and then he makes one of the worst throws he's ever made that led to an easy Cowboy win.
Yeah, it was the definition of a heat check. Like, that felt like it was 450 yards,
nuts.
Three touchdowns. It is like it's when Jalen Green makes three straight threes, and it's like, all right, the fourth one is getting shot from the logo here. Like, this will be a terrible possession. That's what Russ did in overtime, where at a certain point I was like, it looks like we're getting a tie or a Giants win.
Yeah.
And I mean, somehow we got neither of those.
I mean, Aubrey had to hit a 64-yard field goal to send it to overtime. Like, the Giants should have won that game. Like, flying back to New York, if you're a Giants fan, or they wouldn't be flying back because they didn't come to Dallas. But the Giants have to be extremely upset with themselves that they weren't able to close that one out. Because I thought that they were better. I mean, obviously their defense couldn't pick them up in a big spot. Aubrey hits the 64-yarder, ties it, sends it to overtime. Russ the interception, and then you just get into the field goal range. And then Aubrey, who, I mean, best kicker in the NFL, I guess. Like, he's really good, has a strong leg, very accurate. That was I don't know if it was a good win for the Cowboys, more as it was a needed win for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I'm mad at the Cowboys, though, because they didn't cover the 5.5. I went 6-1 against the spread yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I always do the thing where I'll parlay all my picks just in case. Like, I have a crazy week. They were the lone loss on a 17 parlay that would have won me like 90 units. So I'm not too happy with the Cowboys.
Understandable. Understandable. And I'm guessing that's one where it wasn't all noon slate. So
No, it wasn't.
It was like a delayed, like, pissed off, because you're like, wait, it was only this one that I lost.
But there was only, I think I only had two games after the noon slate, though.
Okay.
Like, I had the Sunday nighter, which Atlanta, you know, controlled that pretty easily. And then I had, no, the other ones might have all been the noon slate, actually. I think they were. I think every other game was noon slate,
okay.
And they were looking good.
Yeah.
So, like, or they were in the books. Like, because that game obviously went longer.
It went into,
So I was off to, like, a 5-0 start, and I'm like, man, if the Cowboys can somehow pull this off, I'll be looking to hedge, potentially.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have some options after this noon slate, and then they can't get it done. I was hoping for a pick six, as opposed to like a fair catch interception for Russell Wilson in overtime.
Yeah, that would be the only way, or a different touchdown from the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but
like,
yeah, that was
like a catch and run.
CeeDee Lamb breaks loose.
But then I saw him like playing for the field goal. I'm like, oh, I'm screwed.
Oh yeah, and if if my kicker hit a 64-yarder to send it to OT, maybe I'm setting up for the field goal too.
No, I don't blame them.
Normally the setup for the 46-yard field goal is like terrible. You should never do that. With Aubrey, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, like I don't.
Aubrey in a dome, too.
I mean, I understand that Schottenheimer is trying to win his first ever NFL game. I'm a little ticked off that he wasn't worrying about Branham's bets, though. Come on, Schottenheimer.
Lane Kiffin would have got you that cover.
Lane Kiffin would have got me that cover. So I'm a little ticked off at the Cowboys despite them winning. They got some bad news, too, with Cooper Beebe. He's going to be out for a little while. Good offensive lineman, center out of Kansas State. I liked him, by the way. I wanted the Texans to be on him, but they were not. They don't know how to draft offensive linemen.
No, obviously not.
Elsewhere in that division, Eagles beat the Chiefs yesterday. The big controversy is the tush push. I don't know how you feel about the tush push. I don't mind that it exists. Like, I don't think that they should have voted it out of the league like they tried to in the offseason, which it was funny. Like, Kasario and D'Amico were like, oh, no, we're not going to vote against that. And then they did. Like, whenever the votes came out, like, it didn't back up what they were saying publicly. It's like, okay, was Cal McNair doing some, like, politicking where he was like, I'll vote for this if you vote for this?
Yeah, there's like, some
video
backroom
games
deals.
Yeah. Like, that was so weird. Kasario and D'Amico are like, no, we're against the ban. And then they vote to ban it. Like, what happened? Like, what changed there? I think Cal was trying to do his best politic, and he probably screwed it all up.
Or it's just D'Amico and Kasario want the, like, PR win of, like,
probably.
Hey, listen, I did all I could. That's big man upstairs shot it down.
It's so dumb, though.
Like, it is very.
If you're not on the same, like, I guess they weren't on the same page, but you can't potentially be on the same page, and then you're saying something publicly and then doing something else privately that you know is going to be public. Like, it's just, whatever. It doesn't matter. It was in the offseason. It's just really weird.
It's just a weird set of circumstances. And I know the controversy this time is just the false starting that happens and the, lining up past the ball that the Eagles do that is the controversy this time, because nothing has really changed with the tush push and its effectiveness for the Eagles. It's just that we got a couple slow-mo looks of half their line jumping, and there's even, I think, I forgot which chief it was, but there's one where he was jumping too. Like, yeah.
I think
just
it was
like,
Chris Jones.
Yeah, I thought it was Chris Jones. I didn't want to, whatever, put it on him. But I think if they clean that up, we've got ourselves a normal play again that the Eagles are probably good at. But, like, the Patriots were good at the sneak with Tom Brady.
That's where I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like cool. You're going to do it. Fantastic. Awesome. More power to you. You have the best personnel to do it because you have the best offensive line.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback that squats 3,000 pounds. Like, mm-hmm. I you have the perfect setup for it. You have Saquon Barkley who probably squats equal to what Jalen Hurts
and
squats.
And tight end.
Like,
yeah.
Like, cool. Like, you got this play. It's your thing. Everybody else tries to do it, can do it as well as you because you have all of the pieces to do it. But you got to officiate if they're jumping.
Yeah, it's a crazy – I don't think I've ever seen more offensive linemen jump false start and not get caught.
It's
weird. It looked like it should have been the my favorite false start, everyone but the center call that you'll hear every once in a while.
And look, I don't think it determined the game.
No.
Maybe it took away from what would have been a more entertaining finish as opposed to just like putting it on a knee.
Yeah.
But just clean it up. Just clean it up a little bit. Now, Kansas City's 0-2. Any concerns about the Chiefs 0-2 start?
A little bit, just because it's not 0-2. They play two good teams. Hey, listen, a couple coin flips went the wrong way. They don't look good. They look bad out there, especially on offense. And doesn't help that their tight end either took out one of their receivers for several weeks or put at least a first down pass, if not a touchdown pass, into the arms of a defensive back when they really needed to score. I mean, it's they have no room for error, and they're not playing like a team that looks like they're about to flip a switch and have a 6-0 run in them.
Mahomes was their leading rusher yesterday by like 80
that's
yards.
Bad. That's yeah. very bad for the health of their offense.
I think Pacheco went like 15 carries, 20 yards, like... I kind of like Pacheco at the start of the year. Like, they're getting that Pacheco back before he got hurt last year. He's going to add something to their offense, and he's been a dud. He's been nothing. Now, to your point, they played two really good teams. I'm not concerned about them yet. I'm not worried about them yet. They're still the Chiefs. Last year was like, oh, they're winning all these one-possession games. They're getting lucky. Still went to the Super Bowl. Like, I still believe in Kansas City. But I will say if they lose next week, then I will recant and backpedal and say that I'm very worried. Because they're going to the Giants.
Yeah, to the Giants and host the Ravens.
If you – 1-3. You're staring down the barrel of 1-3.
I was going to say, you kind of have to go 2-0 in the next two.
Nah. I mean,
I think you have to be 2-2.
Nah. They'll be okay at 1-3. They'll be okay at 1-3.
Jags, Lions, Raiders, Commanders, next four after that.
Maybe go 3-4 there, 1-3. Okay. Then you're looking at a 4-4 start through eight.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a great schedule.
This is really. Then you get the Bills, Broncos, whatever. Colts with Daniel Jones, who's apparently the best quarterback in the league.
Vanilla Vic is awesome.
Cowboys, who cares? Texans, loss. I mean, it eases up, but man, until November 2nd.
They can get away with a 1-3 start. They can't get away with an 0-3 start.
I agree with that.
If they beat the Giants and then lose to Baltimore, they're okay.
It's also like what we said 10 minutes ago about the Giants. They look good. The Russell Wilson looked awesome for the first time in 4 years, and we felt worse about him after the game. If you're the Chiefs, you have to beat this team or else your season's over.
It could be in one of those situations, though, where they win like an ugly game, like 20-17, and like, okay, they're okay record-wise. But the perception of them is like
the foundation is still shaking. Yeah.
Like it could easily be something like that, especially being like, you know, Sunday Night Football. They're probably going to be fair. I mean, early spreads are probably already out, but they're probably going to be favored by, 6.5 points? Maybe more than that as a road favorite despite being 0-2? Like they're probably going to be favored by a touchdown. I saw the Jags-Texans early line. You know the Jags are favored next week on the Texans? Like 1.5?
The Jags are favored.
That surprised me.
Yeah, it's in Jacksonville, but – also, it is Jacksonville. The Jaguars play in Jacksonville, so it's
not. Yeah, they play their home games there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Duval, too, if you didn't know.
Yeah, no, that one, I feel like that's one where the Texans will be favored if they win tonight.
I agree. Like, I wonder if it's a sharp move to, like, play a little bit Texans plus a point and a half, and then if the Texans win today, look good,
you just
buy maybe they get favored by, like, 2.5, 3
yeah.
points, and then you try to middle it. Like, I wonder if it's worth the idea.
I
did think about
that.
Or at
the very least, you just got insane value, like, of where the line then moves. So, yeah, that's interesting for sure. You talked me into that. I think what you should do.
I haven't done anything yet, but I'm on it. But if you're going to do that, you have to do it before kickoff today.
Yeah, because the Jags, talk about another team where, you know, it's week one, week two. We're still gathering information. We're judging teams more on our preseason perception of them. The Jags, they look like the Jags, man. Like, they really you get three interceptions from a backup quarterback. Jake Browning comes in for Joe Burrow, and you can't win that. There's several clips on my timeline, and I'm not a Jags fan, of Brian Thomas Jr. looking like he doesn't want to get hit.
He's got a little wrist injury.
All right.
The Liam Cohen said he had a little wrist injury today.
Okay.
And the reporter's like, why wasn't he on the injury report? And Liam's like, yeah.
Hey,
it's just a little knock.
All right.
No, he looks soft, though, Brian
he
Thomas Jr.
He looks terrible, and he's a good receiver. It's just it's nothing but bad film. Less so about, like, the routes, because he's getting relatively open. It's just anytime anyone's near him, he cowers away from the ball. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was big on Brian Thomas Jr. too, but that wasn't a good look yesterday.
No.
All right, we're just getting started on Jeremy and Joe with Sean today. Plenty to get to. Busy day in Houston sports. You got a little Monday Night Football at 6:00. You got a little Astros Rangers and a critical 3-game series, playoff implications coming up later tonight as well. We're at Crawfish Cafe on Shepherd in the Heights. It is fantastic in here. The food is great. Everybody having a great time. They got a little boil. That looks very, very good. But also Carbach Brewing Company coming out here a little bit later for their Monday Night Football special, where you can get a bucket of 6 beers for just $10. Where else can you find those prices? Nowhere. Long Neck's $2. So if you're looking for a spot to watch a little bit of Texans and Buccaneers on some Monday Night Football, this is your place to do it. Have some Carbach beverages along the way as well. Plenty to get to. A heavy NFL. Well, look at this division, too. This division's interesting in the AFC South heading into the final day of week two of the NFL season. We'll get to some college football. Lots going on. Good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend, too. Canelo Crawford. I love boxing, so I'm going to force feed you some boxing. You a boxing guy?
No.
Not at all. I'm going to force feed you
a
little bit of boxing. 713-780-ESPN, the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN975. Sean's at Sean A. Mapes. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5. I love football. Football is back. Hot and heavy with a little bit of football. And Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. Playing an Underdog is fantastic. You get these notification, I guess, on your phone that shows you which apps you've been using the most that week. The top of my list is always Underdog, because Underdog is awesome. You're going to love it. It's so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. Also on Underdog, you can now pick your favorite teams. That's right. You can also pick the margin of victory. You can also pick the total points. So where else would you do that? Underdog is the spot to do it. Also, of course, your favorite picks. How are you feeling about Baker Mayfield, higher or lower, 1.5 passing touchdowns? How are you feeling about C.J. Stroud, 231.5 passing yards? You higher, you lower there. How about Kyahmi Fairbairn? I love some Kyahmi Fairbairn plays. Field goals made, 1.5, higher or lower on that. So you can tell. So much fun to play. So much fun to play. So much to make as well. So much money to win. And with Underdog, you still have the originals. You have the drafts. You can enter a draft right now. Start the ladders. Start the streaks. Win tons of money. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Great food, great spot to watch some Monday Night Football, drink some Carbach. Monday Night Football special, buckets of six, $10, long necks, $2. You're going to love it. They're actually going to be at Crawfish Cafes throughout the year on Monday night. Today, the Heights. They'll be out in Cypress on November 3rd, Pearland November 17th, and then the closest one to me, the Shenandoah Woodlands place at October 20th. Love coming here, too. They have fantastic food. No Joe today. Mapes is in for Joe. 713-780-3776. Branham, it's okay for Mapes to have a different opinion. Did I make you conform to one of mine? I don't remember doing that.
No.
I think maybe force feeding you boxing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
if you mix in some crawfish with the boxing, I think we're good.
Texture says that Dell is rubbing off on Mapes. I wish they would provide context there. How is Dell rubbing off on you?
I don't know, but I would like a different phrase.
They also spelled Dell D-A-L-E, which I always get a kick out of because it's not Day D-A-L-E.
Yeah.
Most of the letters there. What if the Chargers go 4-0? Chiefs are in trouble if they go 1-3. They would be in trouble for the division, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where the 0-2 hole really gets you, is that it's so hard to dig out of that to win your division.
To win the division.
And you're having to walk such a thin line for the rest of the season that you don't. And in the Chiefs' case, you would have lost a game to the Chargers. So you would be down the division head-to-head right there.
I wonder who – do you know whose home game that was?
That was a Chargers home game.
Okay, so that helps them a little bit. Slight advantage there.
Yes.
You don't lose a home game. But, no, it would it wouldn't be good for the division, their divisional chances. But their playoff chances, I think, would still be alive and well. Joe Burrow, the other big thing in the AFC. I think the Texans can learn something from this situation. This is why it's important to protect your quarterback. Why it's important to protect your franchise quarterback. That offense could be one of the best offenses in the NFL, and now they're going to have to deal with Jake Browning. Oh, they didn't look terrible for 3 months. I mean, who knows if Joe Burrow comes back at this point the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, they're already a team that basically how we're talking about the Chiefs being, if they're 1-3, it's going to be no margin for error. It's going to be a tightrope walk to make the playoffs. The Bengals really walked into the season with that already, just on the how their team was constituted and how last season went. Now you got to depend on Jake Browning. I mean, it's really tough to see the way that this ends up being like, and then the Bengals put it all together, because they're a team that was so lopsided last year, and part of that was they had one of the best quarterbacks in football. Now they don't.
Yeah, it's you got to protect your quarterback. If you're going to have that kind of investment, you got to protect your quarterback. Like, I know that they want to be like a prolific passing team, and you will be with Burrow and Chase. Like, I'm not so sure it's great to have such a massive percentage of your cap loaded in two receivers.
The Higgins one is the luxury item that they had no business getting, and it's actually affecting their team now.
Yeah.
Is that whatever it was, $30 something million to Higgins, that's where it hurts. I think you can pay quarterback and receiver and still build a competent team around that.
Right.
But when you go quarterback, receiver, all on top of the market deals, that's when you have to be the team that they were last year, and what that team is 9-8.
Yeah, I think that, like, it's tough to, like, be like, okay, you see ya. Like, we're going to let you walk, especially because it's hard. Like, free agents aren't great, right?
Yeah.
But could you have traded Higgins for a draft pick and then maybe isolated offensive line with that draft pick while also saving money so that you can then, you know, earmark that money to help your team elsewhere? Maybe your defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, get some defense.
Yeah, I don't think that was the best roster build.
No, and I believe, if I'm correct, that Ja'Marr Chase basically, in the Ja'Marr Chase negotiations with the Bengals, kind of forced their hand, because Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins have the same agent. So it was a little bit of a, hey, we're not going to sign with Chase if you don't also sign Higgins.
Yeah, he's ridiculous too, Ja'Marr Chase. He had a massive – he's quarterback proof. Like,
yes.
We talked about this forever with Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins, and I saw like the fantasy community like, uh-oh, what's Chase going to do with no Burrow? Don't worry.
I think
he'll be fine. They might not win games, but Chase is going to get his numbers.
Yeah, and Browning does seem like the – and he has experience backing up Burrow and having to play. He played six games – or either six or seven games.
Yeah, his record was okay too.
Yeah, yeah. You look at his numbers and you're like, he was on pace for a pretty good season. If you extrapolate that as a full season, and I think he's a backup quarterback who can run the playbook and also knows the program and get it to number one.
Like, do you think that they just roll with Browning as their starter? Because I do.
Like, I saw a lot of like Kirk Cousins photoshopped. Yeah. Kirk Cousins get ready to move to Cincinnati. I think Browning's good enough. I think Browning and Cousins, there's not that big of a difference enough to pull the trigger. And also what we're talking about with their finances, like, can they afford to Kirk Cousins?
That's the thing that annoys me, is like, oh, they can just trade for Cousins. It's like, do you know Cousins is making a lot of money? Like, can they fit Kirk Cousins into their salary cap? I doubt it.
I don't think they can. Now, obviously, like, there's unlimited cap gymnastics moves that can be made at any time, seemingly.
Yeah.
But this seems a bit much, that you can trade for a quarterback making starting quarterback money. He's got to be top 10 in the NFL for the quarterback salary.
His cap number is 40. And like I'm sure Falcons could eat some of it too, but like, how many teams are just walking around with the ability to create, depending on how much the Falcons would eat of it, $40 million in cap?
Yes, and then
no one.
And then you ask your question, ask the question, how much better is this team with Kirk Cousins than it is Jake Browning? It's not that much better. Like, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze to do all this.
Yeah, B. Hannon says that Browning had three picks. I just don't think you're finding a better quarterback that can currently fit you better than Browning. And I don't think Browning's going to be good.
But, yes.
But, like, they were calling on Malik Willis. Like, okay, that would be fun because Willis was actually pretty good with the Packers. But would he have better success than Browning? I don't know. New offense. Browning knows it. Willis doesn't. I actually don't think that they do anything splashy. I think that they're going to – is it Easton who's on their practice squad? I think so.
I forgot.
I think that they just pull him up. He'll be the backup, and then they'll sign, like, Desmond Ridder, who was with them in the preseason that they cut.
Yeah.
But maybe they sound like a practice squad guy. I have a tough time.
Where's Josh Johnson?
He's probably around. Like, maybe they sign a guy to be the backup. But I do not see a scenario where Browning's not their starter unless there's another injury.
It's also, again, you lost a top five quarterback in the league. You are the Cincinnati Bengals. You missed the playoffs last year with him playing 17 games for you.
Yep.
We really throwing draft picks around to bring in a backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, just it seems like a sunk cost at this point. It sucks that it happens in week two, but it does seem like the Bengals season, like, for the most part, it's kind of sunk.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's weird though, because they're 2-0.
Yeah,
like, that's the
that
weird
helps.
Thing. Because, like, as soon as he got hurt yesterday, I'm like, man, they're going to be in the mix for the first overall pick. And look, maybe they still will. And it's like a quarterback receiver draft. Like, what would they do? They probably just trade down. And try to pick up as much capital as they can.
I was going to say, or just run to the podium and just say, offensive line. Offensive lineman.
Knowing the Bengals, they'd run to the podium and take the best receiver.
Yeah.
Roster construction be darned. We're going to have the best quarterback and best receiver trio with zero protection.
Who's the best LSU receiver? We're drafting him.
Yeah.
Worked last time.
Yeah. So, but then they won. Like, they're 2-0. Like, I think that they... Look, I don't think they're a playoff team without Burrow, but I think that they're still, because Chase is so good and the Higgins is so good.
They're going to
stumble to 7 wins.
They have one more game against the Browns, which was close,
and they're 2-0. Yeah. So, like, all they would have to do, 17 games in a season, they have 15 left. If they can go 5-10 the rest of the year, I mean, that's a third of the games.
Yeah.
If they win a third of their games, if they don't get Burrow back, that's still a 7 win team. I think they win a third of their games, even without Burrow. Now, what will be interesting is if they're in a playoff race and then Burrow's healthy and comes back for, like, week 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, because that's the thing with 3 months, is that just counting on my fingers. That's okay, December, he'll be back. Like,
yeah.
That's not the entire season. Now, there was also some, and I don't know the specifics of it, of if it's surgery, it is season ending, but then all I've seen is 3 months on all the, like, newsbreaker tweets about it. So
yeah.
I'm just taking it face value right now for 3 weeks. And yeah, if especially the last three games of the season, if he can get back for December 21st, they have Dolphins, Cardinals, who are 2-0, and then Browns, who they beat by one in week one.
Yeah, they could win those games.
It's like,
those are winnable games.
It's on the table. They get some Jets. They get some Bears, some Patriots. You know what?
season's not over.
I mean,
maybe.
They could win all of those games.
Yeah.
They could also lose all of those games.
Yeah, that's what happens when you start a backup quarterback, is all the games that are winnable, for the most part, they also are losable because, as was it B. Hannon pointed out, the guy did throw three interceptions in 2.5 quarters.
I kind of like it when my backup quarterback's a gunslinger, though. Like, live by the sword, die by the sword. Who cares? You're a backup quarterback. Like, I like that more than, like, the timid quarterback who's, like, you know, yeah. 11 for 22 with, like, 100 yards. I kind of like the gunslinger. Maybe it's because I love Case Keenum. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live at Crawfish Cafe. Sean in for Joe. Did Dan Campbell run up the score yesterday? It's a mediocre quarterback play around the NFL. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe with Sean at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And, hey, listen, we've been talking about it. Monday Night Football, it's time for you to make some money on Prize Picks watching the Houston Texans. And Prize Picks, since they're so good to us, they just discounts galore. We're getting a discount in the Texans and Bucks game. C.J. Stroud, discounted passing projection to 202 passing yards. Can he throw for over 200 yards against the Bucks? I saw a video of what he did to the Bucks last time he played, or was that the last time he played? His rookie year, at least in NRG Stadium, he threw for way more than 202 yards. You can get in on that, throw in maybe Baker Mayfield to throw an interception with the swarming defense here Monday Night Football. And, yeah, throw in some kickers. How about this? Combined field goal yardage for Kyahmi Fairbairn and Caleb McLaughlin. Let's get some stops in field goal range, and let's kick some field goals. That'll do more than 144.5 yards. Whatever you want, it's on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup using promo code MAPES. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Mapes in for Joe. I'm still Jeremy. Rhino in for Brian. This is your spot. Watch some Monday Night Football. Carbox going to be out here. Bucket of six beers, $10. Great value. Long necks, $2. They have some excellent wings here at Crawfish Cafe. They smell delicious. They look delicious, as does everything on the menu. Very, very good. We'll dive into that in a little bit. Do you think Dan Campbell was running up the score against his former offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, yesterday?
I think it was. I think it was a – I don't know if there's actual animosity there or if it was just a let's get right after looking pretty bad week one against the against the Packers, and let's run it up. Let's have some fun. The defense, one of their like group celebrations in the end zone, they ran the like stumble, Jared Goff stumble play, and threw it to a different defensive back that was near the Bears sideline. Like they're clowning on the Bears. I think part of it was a get right game. B, we know we can get this off against the Bears.
Yeah, that was I don't think that they were doing it intentionally because of Ben Johnson. I feel like the relationships there are pretty good. I don't think that he stuck around for 2 years, longer than he needed to. Like, he could have been a head coach 2 years earlier. So I don't think that there's bad blood. Jared Goff was like, yeah, I don't love that the Detroit fans booed him. Like, he was good for our organization. Ben Johnson handled it pretty well afterwards, too. He's like, yeah, that's what they do. They don't kick field goals, which is true. I mean, that's been their MO forever.
And that's part – that's where the Bills – or the Lions get plausible deniability there of, like, their team that, like, will stun on you. Like, that – Ben Johnson would do that. He would throw to offensive linemen while they're up three scores. Like, they know what the program is. That's how their team is built. And, I mean, you can't argue with the results. And they're one of the, to me, one of the big, maybe not biggest winners of week two, but the biggest, like, okay, so that really was just the Packers in week one.
Right.
That against, and now the Bears are not a
good team, but against a competent NFL team, you can look good still.
Yeah, it was a get-right game for them. Five touchdowns for Goff's insane. I'm on Raw. I stacked. I played one DFS lineup because I hate doing the multi ones. Like, it's just too much time. I stacked Goff and the wrong Lion. I picked the right quarterback. I picked the right stack.
Yeah.
But I went LaPorta instead of Amon Ra. Dummy. Brandon
that
Bell,
is,
no ball.
That is tough. That is tough. That, would you rather have LaPorta, Gibbs, or Will Anderson?
We LaPorta, Gibbs, and a future first.
And let's relitigate that after the DFS
713-780-3776. Would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, and a future first, or Will Anderson?
Yeah, and then we'll talk about tomorrow based off what Will Anderson did.
Week by week.
Yeah, just game by game.
Yeah. More bad news for the Bears, too. Jalen Johnson out for the year, it looks like. Reports saying that. I thought there was two games that just weren't fair. Like, Bills, Jets, that wasn't fair. Allen agreed to play that game with a broken nose, and they still cruised to victory.
That felt like what you watch on Saturdays in week two, where it's like, oh, this team's just totally overmatched. They kind of named their score.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're cruised with that game, too. Like, Allen's numbers were pedestrian. Yeah. Like, Cook had a big game, but everybody else was kind of quiet because they cruised to victory.
Yeah.
Fields proves why I can't trust him. Concussion for Fields. He's going to miss some time.
It's tough when the sell on a quarterback is like, yeah, we'll just run him a bunch, and that it'll be part of our offense. And it's like, you do need to be able to be Josh Allen, to be Lamar Jackson, who can also do the throwing part of that, so you're not dependent on using your quarterback as a runner. And because you just take more hits, you get more knocks.
It's hard to make it through 17 games.
Yeah, you just running. Can't. It's hard. It's hard to do that. I won't say you can't, but it's very, very hard.
Same thing for Ravens-Browns. Like, the Browns actually put up a fight a little bit. It was cute. And then Lamar threw for four touchdowns, and they cruised to victory against their former team. I thought the coolest, maybe not the coolest, actually, it was coolest for me. But, like, the most dramatic thing that came out of this game was what Schefter tweeted out before the game, that Shedeur Sanders in round 5 was going to be drafted by Baltimore, and Shedeur let it be known that he didn't want to be Lamar Jackson's backup, so he didn't want to go to Baltimore. And, like, Baltimore was like, okay, well, if you don't want to be here, we're not going to draft you in the fifth
round. We'll
probably
draft a Pro Bowler in the fifth round instead.
Like, probably, because the Ravens are great.
D-back, he'll probably be good.
Like, I understand a little bit where Shedeur's coming from, where, like, okay, I want to land somewhere where I have a pathway to start.
Yeah.
At the same time, how in the world could you be a fifth-round quarterback making these kind of demands?
Yeah, normally you hear about these kind of things where it's in the seventh round. You're like, don't draft me. I want to be an undrafted free agent. Pick my spot. You know, you don't really see that as much in the middle of, I guess, not the middle, in the later part of the draft, the early late part of the draft, early of day three. Especially a team like the Ravens, where it's like they're the opposite of the Browns, which is funny because they used to be the Browns, but it is just the complete opposite of it. Of they are a top flight organization basically in every way of like, hey, I think I'll be developed pretty well if I go to the Ravens, no matter what position.
I mean, and Lamar has been injured in his past.
He'll miss a couple games.
And you're in a better spot. Like, you're in a much better – it makes no sense to me.
Tyler,
like,
Huntley made a Pro Bowl filling in for Lamar
for
three games.
That's right, he did.
Like, Pro Bowler, like, you could just do that.
And Shedeur didn't really simmered these conversations down, because he had quotes after this game.
Oh,
like,
really?
Hey, what did you think about this? And Shedeur said, my response is I'm focused on the now. I don't really talk about anything in the past. Whatever happened in the past, it is what it is. I'm more focused on now. I'm more focused on this game we just had, figuring out how to move forward from that. When asked if the sequence of events unfolded as reported, Sanders said, I don't know. You wouldn't believe my memory. Don't even go back that far. I don't remember anything pre-draft. I remember I'm here.
This
I
is a red
practice
flag.
Every day, and this is a 24. There's a 24-hour rule. You know, this is a long way of saying, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, he did not say no to this at all. He did not dispute the report whatsoever. This was a long-winded, multi-worded way of saying, that did happen. Yeah, happened.
Yeah, and the, like, I don't know, I can't. You're asking me about stuff that happened in April? I can't remember that far. Red flag for my quarterback.
No doubt.
I need my quarterback to have 6 months of memory.
You don't remember that you told Baltimore that you didn't want to back up Lamar? You don't remember that?
The team you're playing this week?
No.
I mean, it's not something I would have done. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him. That's kind of my read on this. Maybe he thought he was going somewhere else that isn't the Browns, because on its face, being like, no thanks, Ravens, going to Cleveland. That's tough.
I mean, this is why everybody stayed. This is why he went in the fifth round, because he was making weird demands like this. Colts fan, how about my Colts? Y'all didn't see this coming after two games, but I did. Let's address that. Are you taking the Colts seriously as a problem in the AFC South? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Crawfish Cafe in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights.
Munching on these game day wings they have here. Nice little sampling of little wings. I'm a wing aficionado. They're delicious. Fantastic.
Yes.
Some boiled corn, potatoes, a little boiled egg, too, for your fancy. Some seasoned fries that are very good. The sausage. Very good stuff here at the Crawfish Cafe. Carbox going to be out here later, too, with outstanding beer specials. Buckets of six, $10. Long necks, $2. This is the spot if you're looking to watch some Monday night football somewhere. Cheap beer and excellent, excellent food. Sean Mabes in for Joe. Joe's not here today. It makes the show name Jeremy and Joe weird when one of us is
out.
Yeah,
yeah. Because during to break last segment, you said Jeremy and Joe here at Crawfish Cafe.
Like, he's technically
half
not.
Right.
The show is here.
Yes.
Joe technically
I'm here
is
as an
not.
Emissary of the show.
Alex on the Twitch said, did B-Mac and Joe have a lunch date today? 713-780. Maybe.
They
maybe
should have had one here.
Maybe Joe's buying them lunch for his birthday.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Or they didn't invite me because they know I don't buy people things on their birthday. Unless it's like my family.
Okay. That's understandable.
You okay with that rule?
I mean, I don't think it needs to be hard and fast, but yeah, like friends, you get a text.
Yeah, text is enough.
Yeah, I'll hang out with you.
Yeah, you want to go?
I'll buy you lunch.
Yeah, if we hang out, I'll buy you a
beer. That's my gift.
I'm not like,
you know. Oh, I saw something on Pinterest. I thought he might like. You know, I'm not doing that.
No, definitely not. Colt fan is flexing his 2-0 record, despite yesterday it needed a fluke call in order to win that game. What did you think about that leverage play, that weird ending?
Well, the aforementioned Brian McDonald and I had a bet on that because I was like, the Broncos are obviously going to beat these guys.
On the game?
Yes.
Straight up?
Straight up.
Oh, wow, he gave you value.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I ran to the window and took it. And B-Mac obviously made the call for the leverage play there and got the result more or less flipped. No, I mean, it's one of those calls. I mean, you watch football all season. You don't see that called. Watching the replay, I'm not entirely sure what – I mean, they contacted the long snapper and someone jumped near him.
Well,
they said that
I forget his name, 92 for the Broncos. They said that he put his hand on the guard and then that's where the leverage came from. Cause you're not allowed to use any player in order to gain leverage in an attempt to block the kick. Letter of the law. They got it right. Letter of the law. You can see him do it. Now, I don't think he gains an advantage, but letter of the law, you can't do it. My thing and my objection to this, if I were a Bronco fan, would be, and look, I had Colts money line, so I'm okay with it. My objection to this would be, that you can call this on every single field goal or extra point. Like, I think this happens on every single field goal extra point.
That's what's tough to see what illegal happened, because it looked like every other field goal or extra point that you watched on Sunday.
No, 100%. Like, I feel like that's one of those plays you can call every single time. So it's like, oh, you call it one time in the most critical situation.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, second quarter 13-10.
No, it's a game winner.
It's the game winner where a guy absolutely shanks it. It was nowhere close to making it. It wasn't a situation where it looked like it affected the play. That guy was going to miss.
No.
He would have missed with no one rushing him.
Yeah, I don't think he gained an advantage doing it. But again, letter of the law, probably. I would be ticked off of our Bronco fan, though, because every single
I was a Bronco fan for 3.5 hours. I'm ticked off.
So are we taking the Colts seriously as a problem?
I think you take them seriously in what we talked about earlier with the Chiefs and the Chargers, where if the Texans are to lose and you're 0-2, they're 2-0, like, you have to take that seriously just on the numbers of they're up two games on you already in this season. So I take them seriously as they're not going to be a complete joke walkover like we thought they were going to be before 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I think it mostly depends on the context of what the Texans season, how the Texans season plays out.
They have my attention. I take them seriously. Yeah, I like Steichen as a coach. I think he can get the most out of his quarterbacks. I think he's usually pretty good with mobile quarterbacks. I thought Richardson was going to be really good there. I didn't think Richardson was going to be good anywhere in the NFL unless Shane Steichen drafted him. Not even Shane Steichen could fix Anthony Richardson.
So you're out on Anthony Richardson.
Oh, totally out. How can you not be? Like, yeah. Steichen was a great offensive great quarterback mind, great quarterback developer, great offensive mind. Anthony Richardson looks dreadful where they can't win any sort of games with him. He's lowest completion percentage like in NFL history.
Yep.
Paraphrasing. And then Daniel Jones comes in here and is like, oh, my goodness, this is really good football player suddenly. How did that happen? Because Shane Steichen can coach. So he's got a quarterback that he's actually playing at a high level, that he has playing at a high level. He has great targets around him. Tyler Warren looks like this year's Brock Bowers.
Yes.
Jonathan Taylor's still a top three, top five running back, and their defense is solid. Like, they have my attention. I think they're a playoff team.
A playoff team.
And look,
division winner.
If they're two and oh, and the Texans start off 0-2, that's gonna be a tough hill to climb.
No, it's gonna be a very tough hill to climb. It does remind me as you're going through that. And Warren is new, but Taylor's there last year. Yep. The receivers were there
last year.
It is funny how much a quarterback who is like competent and can get the ball to the playmakers. You are like, you know what, this offense has some guys on it.
Yeah. So, they have some juice.
Yeah, and you think about what Steichen did in his first season with the Colts in 2023 with Gardner Minshew as their quarterback after Anthony Richardson went down early in that season. And it was a win-or-go-home game for the Houston Texans the last week, or might have been the second-to-last week of the season, in Indianapolis, where they had to win that game. Yeah, so obviously Steichen can coach. I still am dubious of, like, man, I saw for five years Daniel Jones's game, from even including a year with, or 2 years with, supposed quarterback whisperer Brian
Daboll.
Yeah.
He was pretty good with one of them, though. He was good enough in that 1 year to get a contract. He was pretty good the first year with Daboll. He's not bad.
Yeah. The thing is, his level of good is the, like, level of good that I don't rate very well of, like, you're just doing, like, the bare minimum competency.
Right.
And it's being schemed up for you in that situation. It's Saquon Barkley behind him. Like, it's the most, like, beneficial, like, training wheels things, and you're not tipping over the tricycle.
I just think he's in the perfect system for him.
Yeah.
He's in the perfect system for him. It has juice around him. I think they're a problem, actually. Not like Super Bowl contender, but playoff team for sure. Could potentially win this division for sure.
I think to me maybe it's not fair to the Colts that I am just viewing this through a Texans lens of, like, if the Texans look better tonight and are, or even if they are 1-1 tonight, yeah, I take them less seriously just in the over the course of the season. And I mean, the Colts and Texans don't play until very late in the season. I think they don't play until December.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wilson's going to fizzle like he has in the past. We have the tape, says Israel. He's not a big Russell Wilson guy, apparently.
Oh.
He says that Richardson beat the Texans. That's a low bar, though. Like, Bryce Young beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Desmond Ritter beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Will Levis beat the Texans. So, like, that's not the flex that you think it is.
Levis is pretty good.
Yeah, great talent. He got ruined by his head coach. His head coach ruined him. Keith from L.A., 2-0 versus the AFC South. Easy work. That was a good result, I think, for the Texans, that the Rams kind of controlled the Titans. It's actually a game at the half, but the Rams pulled away in the second half. They look like a far better team than the Titans. So it's like, hey, okay, you gave them a tougher test than the Titans, so you're better than them, as we all knew. But also, like, I think the Rams are better than the public perception of them. I think they could be a top three team in the NFC.
So speaking for myself, I think I also perceive them as worse for the whole season. I picked them against the Texans, but for the whole season, just because I had to bake in the fact that their quarterback needed an epidural to play. Like, their quarterback is in his mid to late 30s with a back injury that barely let him practice.
He looks good, too.
Where I've landed is, as long as he's out there, they're Super Bowl contenders. and the second he's off the team, maybe they're merely a playoff team because Jimmy G is their backup. He's another one of the guys where it's like, yes, I know he's been good in the past, but like, I don't think he's actually good. I think he's played well. I don't think he is a good player. And he's another guy where I think he can keep the ship righted. But yeah, I think we baked in our preseason worries about Stafford's injury and injury management. And Nacua, too. Nacua gets knocked up,
he's
too.
He's so good.
Knocked around, not knocked up.
Epidural knocked up in the same segment.
That's
what's going on out there in Hollywood.
I know it's L.A., but come on, fellas. But yeah, I think if you take away the injury worries that you have about these guys, like, they are up there with the Eagles as far as contenders in the NFC.
Yeah, they're
throwing the Packers.
I think
too.
They're underrated. Yeah, Packers look good. The NFC might be deeper
than
we thought.
It is just the like marathon aspect of the season that has me doubting the Rams. But every week where they roll in and there's no question mark, no out next to any of Nacua, Adams, or Stafford, I think they're a good team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Because if you lose Stafford, you're toast. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe with Sean out here at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. This is your spot for lunch, dinner. It's your spot tonight for some Monday night football viewing and drinking with Carbach out here giving out half a dozen buckets of six, $10, long necks, $2 as well. You're going to want to take advantage of that. 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on the NFL yesterday. Also, the best of college football over the weekend. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Sean with Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're the best. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to love your car buying experience with them. But that's not the end of it. You're going to love when you need a vehicle service. You're going to love when you have to trade in that vehicle, when you have to get the new vehicle. Monument Chevrolet is there for you every step of the way. It's why they've been in the Houston area for 50 years. They've been a pillar of the community for five decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and they keep coming back because they love the experience with Monument Chevrolet. They love the people, too. It's a family feel, and you feel it from the moment you step foot on the lot. The moment that you walk through the doors, you can just feel it. It's palpable. A friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. Did you know right now the 25 Silverado 1500 is the best vehicle you can buy? Because the 26 Silverado is out, which means that you can get a great deal on the 25 Silverado 1500. These are what the smart shoppers doing, because you listen to us, we already know that you're smart. Monument Chevrolet is offering deep discounts plus 2.9% financing for 72 months on the 25 Silverado 1500s. I know you didn't think interest rates came that low anymore. Well, they do at Monument Chevrolet. So while everyone's rushing to get the newest model, you can save big by purchasing the 25 Silverado 1500 right now. Maybe you want to go electric. Maybe that's your thing now. Well, now is the time to do it, because you can get a $7,500 tax credit for buying an EV, an electric vehicle, but that in September 30th. So if you're going to go electric, do it now and take advantage of that $7,500 tax credit for buying an EV, and, of course, buy it at Monument Chevrolet. No, get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in aggravating stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Check out their full inventory at MonumentChevrolet.com, MonumentChevrolet.com, or go stop by in person, 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.